So Dan, that was ace. That was brill. I'm gonna try it out. Since he's here, I'm gonna try out all my British slang on Dan.
Wicked.
There you go. Brilliant. It's time for the agenda. We got to look ahead at what's going to be important in the news this week. And joining us is Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and our co-producer, WNYC, and Maggie Haberman, senior political writer for Politico. Happy Monday, guys.
Good morning.
So, Maggie, I wanted to talk to you about what's going on with the GOP race, because number one, it's still going on. And number two, we seem to be seeing a large number of women, especially moderate and independent women, voicing real frustration with the GOP. I was hoping you can explain, first of all, why the gender gap. I would assume it's because of the contraception debate, but is that correct?
That's exactly right. I mean, it's the contraception debate, but it's also the rhetoric. The fact that Mitt Romney did not strongly condemn what Rush Limbaugh said has already been, sort of looked at by a lot of people as a real missed opportunity for him. I think that that has a lot to do with it. I think the fact that Rick Santorum remains a strong presence in the GOP race. Santorum, has been sort of a flashpoint for Democrats in terms of women's issues for years now. He was a 1990s culture warrior. He's been very, very anti-abortion, very anti-gay marriage. He's a real loud spokesperson on a lot of social issues for the Republican Party. That is not something most Republicans want right now. They don't want someone who is speaking in sort of charged rhetoric about social issues, because they would rather be fighting on the economy. So you are seeing some kind of a gender gap emerging. I don't know that it's permanent, but it's certainly something Democrats are trying to take advantage of right now.
Well, since you're speaking of Democrats taking advantage of it, let's listen to President Obama speaking at a fundraiser in Houston.
Because of this law, preventive care is now covered. And yes, that includes preventive care for women, checkups, mammograms, birth control.
So, Maggie, how effective is President Obama's message to women?
I think that at the moment they're still fine tuning it, but I think it's not really subtle. It's very tied into the healthcare law. It's very tied into a lot of sort of obvious points of controversy right now. But I think that it is effective. Again, I think that it's a little too soon to tell just how effective. We're going to know a lot more when the president is in a head-to-head with one of these Republicans, presumably Mitt Romney.
Well, my producer reminds me that since 1992, Democrats have won the overall women's vote in every single presidential election. So we'll see if that happens again. But Charlie, let's talk about how effective this message is. I would assume that at the moment, at least, President Obama is also winning the argument on the economy.
There's a lot of signs that the economy is strengthening. I mean, it's not a complete picture, and you can't say that everything is totally fine. But the Federal Reserve is meeting this week, and the expectation is that they won't take any more actions, any extraordinary actions to try and get the economy going again, in large part because they want to see where the economy is strengthening and where it's not. I mean, we've seen that unemployment, we saw the figures last week, were doing really well. We've seen that spending seems to be doing pretty strong. But, of course, there's these worries about gas prices. There's worries about what's happening in Europe. So there are some, mixed signals here. But overall, the direction seems to be pretty positive.
All right. But let's talk about Europe really, really quickly, because last week the news was pretty good on Greece.
Yeah, it looks like Greece is finally starting to work out everything that they need to. The expectation is that they will get this second round of bailout money from the European Union.
Don't hold your breath.
Well, I mean, the thing is that I'm not going to hold my breath, because even if they get the money, I bet, a month from now, there's going to be some other issue that comes up. I mean, it sort of feels like every time there's a Republican primary, this is the most important primary for Mitt Romney. He wins it, and then it's suddenly this is the most important. Kind of feels like the same way for Greece.
Every time we're talking about the economy, we always say, well, the elephant in the room no one's talking about is Europe, right?
Right.
We have Europe.
We have Europe representing. Can you explain to us?
Well, I'm British. We're only halfway there.
You do refuse the euro.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Maggie, let's talk about these primaries that are coming up this week, because I have to wonder if this is the most important primary for Newt Gingrich. We've got Alabama and Mississippi coming up. Gingrich has said, I will win these, and that will reinvigorate my campaign. Does it look like he may win these?
There's certainly a chance that he could win Alabama. There's a lesser chance in Mississippi. There are a couple of new polls out this morning from Public Policy Polling, a Democratic polling firm that tends to be pretty accurate in their tracking. It shows there's really no clarity in either primary. They're pretty bunched up. I think Newt Gingrich, whether he actually drops out despite saying that he would, he has walked that back a bit. I think this is a very key test for Mitt Romney. Romney. I know Charlie was saying that we keep moving the goalpost for Mitt Romney, and I think there is something to that. But if Mitt Romney was to win a Southern primary, I think that that would go a long way toward making his point that he is really consolidating his support. He is solidifying the GOP base behind him, and I think that that would expedite the end of what has felt like an eternal primary.
And Charlie, in terms of economic plans at this point, have we heard the GOP candidates change their message since the economy kind of started to improve, you think?
Not so much. I mean, we're still sort of seeing the plans that they have for growing the economy. There's, you know, questions about the front runner, Mitt Romney's, whether or not it actually will add to the deficit or not. He sort of admitted that you can't really score it. You can't really put in the specific numbers for it because a lot of it depends on how much economic growth there is. So there are some... There really hasn't been much of a change in terms of what they've been proposing. And, you know, again, it's sort of this, look, the economy is not doing well, but the signs are that the economy is strengthening. But I just keep thinking that as much as we're talking about Europe or gas prices, these things are all precursors to what will happen in November. And I sort of feel like what gas prices are in November, what unemployment is in November, what the GDP is in November, those will probably have a stronger dictate over who wins the election than where they are right now.
Maggie, do you think, we only have about 30 seconds, but do you think Newt Gingrich might leave the race this week if he fails to do well in these Alabama, Mississippi?
I think it's going to be extremely hard for him to do, but I think the pressure is going to get very, very tough. If he doesn't match Southern tests, it's going to be hard to have a rationale for continuing on.
Well, Rick Santorum is told to leave. And hey, if he loses in both Alabama and Mississippi, he can just say, look, we tried. And then Bob's your uncle. Is that the right way to use that?
$4 gas. That's really cheap. We're paying $8.
Oh. Europe again, spoiling the party. Maggie Haberman, senior political writer for Politico. Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway, and our co-producer, WNYC. There's your agenda.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.